It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hi, I'm Kirk Maynard. She's squeaky.
Oh my gosh. I'm Jamie. I'm sorry. I was just saying that I had a really squeaky chair and then I was moving a little bit and it is so... And then Kirk started to mock. We so need a podcast. It's so much funnier when you can see it live.
It's kind of a radio podcast, right?
Yeah, but you can't see it live. You just know that we're just being ridiculous in the studio and not even how ridiculous we're being. Oh, wait. Hold on.
There's a random keyboard.
Oh, you got a keyboard.
That's high end here. They provided a squeaky chair and a keyboard.
What are you going to type?
Thank you, KFAR.
A message to no one.
I'm going
to
hack in.
Is it missing a key? What's the big... Oh, no. It's just a gap over there on the right.
I'm going to move this along over here.
Okay. Move it. All right. So we're going to talk about today some really good stats of some things going on in the market.
Well, Jamie brought up a couple weeks ago, for those of you who are regular listeners, she said, hey, we should do a three-month snapshot and take a look at what the market's done. So I thought that was a good idea. So we looked at May, June, July of this year compared to last year.
Yeah. What's it looking like?
Flat.
Really?
Yep.
It's not moving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, I think what maybe spawned Jamie to think that we should do a three-month look from looking this year compared to last year is because we had, you know, some of these areas just have little sales. And so, you know, five sales compared to five sales. So it's looking at a three-month snapshot, it was a good idea. So let's take a look.
Okay.
Hold on.
Your chair is squeaky too. I feel better. Okay.
Yep. Glenner, if you're listening to this, can you?
Glenner, we need some WD-40. Need some new chairs.
Okay.
Or some WD-40.
All right. So we do this. We always break it down by neighborhood, by area. That's the way we should look at market stats. And so we'll start with North Fairbanks. North Fairbanks is anywhere from.
Yeah, right above Fred's.
Airport Way. Airport Way up to College Road-ish. So this year, so again, we're looking at May, June, and July compared to last year. So current period, there's 27 sales. A year ago, 43 sales. It's down 37%.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Badgerboro North Pole is down, up 7%. So there are 120 sales this year. Last year, 112. Okay, that's how we're doing this.
Okay.
City of North Pole is down 55%. Out of area we won't care about. East Rural, my house, is up 12%. East Fairbanks is down 12%. Southwest Fairbanks is up 83%, but not a lot of sales. I mean, current period was 11, and then a year ago was 6.
Yeah.
Southwest Fairbanks is by West Fred's. Okay, I was reading that. Southwest Rural. My bad. West Fairbanks is down 32%. Southwest Rural Fairbanks is down 10%. Northwest Rural is down 22%. Rural Fairbanks is up 48%. Chino Hot Springs Road is exactly zero change. Parks Highway South, we won't look at. Salcha, we won't look at. Delta is up 56%. Southeast Fairbanks, which is the trendy Soku district, is up 25%. And as a roll-up, current period, so in Fairbanks, all our areas, 361 sales the summer, May, June, and July. A year ago, 373. So down, almost the same. So down 3%. Yeah. So flat.
Yeah, that's just so interesting. And I almost wonder if some of those houses out in the rural areas are just people they're leaving, you know, like permanently leaving versus some of the things that we're hearing is just some downsizing, upsizing, that kind of stuff still within the Fairbanks region.
That could be.
But
that could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
So let's now look at average sales price. So North Fairbanks up 5%, 374 to 287. Badger Road North Pole is up 9% from 354 to 387, 384,387,000. City North Pole up 1%. East Rural Fairbanks up 2%. East Fairbanks up 3%. East Rural, by the way, was 398,000 was average price. East Rural is 319. Southwest Fairbanks is up 13%. Average sales price there is 241. West Fairbanks is up 4%, average sales price 368. Southwest Rural is up 17%, average sales price 455. Northwest Rural up 5%, that's 336,000. Rural Fairbanks is down 8% at an average sales price of $363. Chino Hot Springs Road up 70%.
Wow.
Of those nine sales. Of those nine sales last year in the summertime, the average sales price was, again, we're only looking at residential. We're not looking at land or commercial or multifamily. 1 year ago, it was 238. This current period, 404. So it just takes one big sale to change that. Salcha is up 230%. Again, we shouldn't really be saying Salcha. Their average sales price last year during this time frame, 110. This year, 363. But that's when you have four sales. There you go.
Yeah.
Delta is down 1%. Southeast Fairbanks up 16% to 245,000. So overall, the average sales price is up 6%. A year ago, it was 338, and now it's 357 for May, June, and July.
Interesting.
I know. It's interesting. Okay, let's talk about the act now. Let's look at the active properties. So North Fairbanks is down 12% in active listings. Badger Road, North Pole is kind of flat, up 4%. City North Pole is down 14%. Out of areas up 20%. East Rural's up 23%. East Fairbanks is up 24%. Southwest Fairbanks up 6%. West Fairbanks down 34%. So they were a year ago, there were 53 homes for sale. Right now, 35. So big bump. Southwest Rural, just the opposite. 1 year ago, there was 35 houses for sale. The current period now was 56, so that's up 60%. Northwest Rural, pretty flat. Rural Fairbanks is up 30%. So year ago, around 60 properties, and now 80 properties. Chino Hot Springs, flat. Salcha, up a little bit. Delta is up 21% in the number of current listings. Southeast Fairbanks is down 30% in the number of listings. Overall, the change is up 6%. Kind of flat.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Let me give you quick roll-ups. I won't go through that detail, but for land, if I head all the way down to the bottom, sales were almost similar. The volume is down, meaning the value of the properties that were sold. The average sales price of land went from 78,000 to 54,000, so down 31%. And the number of listings is down 8%. Let's go see what commercials did. Let's not look at commercial. Let's look at multifamily.
See, and I don't know why land went down. I feel like I almost
I've been
wonder,
going crazy this summer with land.
Yeah, but I almost feel like people just kind of went, okay, I just want to sell it. So,
that
you know what I mean?
Be.
And or there were so many, I guess maybe with a lot of the land, there was cash offers, so they took a cash offer.
Yeah.
And so that then skewed, because I did comps on I did comps earlier on a parcel of land, and it came out pretty high. And then I did it again. So we tried to sell it with a house. Didn't sell, and then I did an updated set of comps, going to sell it by itself, and it definitely dropped. So I think just because of the cash offers that were happening, I think it's definitely skewed the land numbers.
I think you're right. Multifamily is down. So multifamily, we're kind of looking at triplexes up because we duplexes we put into our single they fall under single family residential. So current period, there's nine sales. A year ago, there was 16, so that's down 44%. Average sales price was 442, 439, so that's basically flat. Number of listings, flat. So not a lot of change there except for the number of sales, which is a big thing. Okay,
yeah.
There's your fun facts.
So I was thinking, you know, you and I have been showing, I mean, all the agents have been showing a lot of houses. So lots of showings. Lots of houses. Lots of things, deals falling through lately.
Every house I've shown in the last week, and I've seen a lot of them, have all come back onto the market. And so I go to the hot sheet and I look at least once.
Yeah.
If not fallen through twice.
Yep.
And they're on their third round. I don't know where you're going with this or what you're commenting on, but why deals are falling through?
Yeah. Well, and I really took this whole week to try to give feedback to listing agents. I am also, you know, giving feedback to my sellers. I'm taking in a lot of information from my buyers. But I think it's important that we share some of that information to potential sellers that are thinking about selling their house, because again, I think those lessons learned are just incredibly valuable. And, you know, as we're going to showings,
what they can do to not have their house go on and off the market like 10 times?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that just happens. You know, I mean, sometimes
it's a pandemic this summer. Yes. It's crazy. Never seen this before.
Yes. But I think the, you know, things that we're definitely seeing is, you know, some of the houses never make it to the engineer inspection. So you get under contract, you start, but it doesn't even make it. So, you know, they lose their funding, let's say, as an example. That's happened to me.
I had one this summer.
Yes. So they lost their funding. We didn't make it to the, but it, of course, it immediately came off. So we were under contract for a few days, maybe 10 days. They were supposed to get the engineer inspection. I said, where are we at with the engineer inspection? Then they said, we've called and they've lost their funding. So we lost 10 days. Those first 10 days, I think, are so valuable. In retrospect, what I should have done is call for an engineer inspection. I should have gotten an engineer inspection. I think sometimes that's really valuable to just have that information up there, because it cost us another 35 days on market before we finally...
Wait, I'm not following. So you have the listing, a buyer came through, lost their funding.
Yeah, we never got an engineer inspection because they didn't get one. So, but
whoa.
Right. So huh. I kept saying they had it scheduled, but the engineers were out that far.
Right.
So we had the extension put in place.
Okay.
Then when I was just like, are we getting there? And then, you know, the agent.
Oh, are you
the
saying you should have kept the appointment?
I should have kept the appointment. I should have encouraged the sellers to keep the appointment.
Heck yeah.
Because what we would have had was an engineer inspection on file, and those 10 days that we lost,
yes,
we would have had something. So I think sometimes
that's a good point.
I think sometimes we want to save our sellers as much money as possible. And so, you know, we sometimes think, oh, okay, you know, maybe the buyer will do the engineer inspection on the offer. But the $750, let's say it's even $800 hypothetically for an engineer inspection, because they range anywhere from $650 to $800, depending on the size of your house.
They used to be like $250.
Well, if only we could go back to the days where things were cheap. But that money would have been so well spent, because I could have sent that out immediately to anybody that came by to even see the house.
And well, it also goes back to, I've preached this a million times, repair versus replace. So
yes,
when you have a home inspection done, maybe even get some bids on it to repair certain items versus when a buyer goes through and they say, hey, I'm going to have to replace it, not repair it, then they're coming up with a total different number in their head. And so when an offer comes through, they're not going to be on the same page as the seller. So
nope.
Great point.
I really just push it out there to sellers to consider. I think sometimes as sellers, it gets, again, we're dealing with money, and I totally get that. And I'm very empathetic. I am, as an agent, understanding my goal is to try to save money everywhere I can. Like, I must call every, you know, I call all the engineers, and I'm just like, is there anywhere that, you know, we can save money? Is there anything that we can save money on? Is there any deals that you're offering? If you do it on this day, are you squeezing us in? Is there anything that was cost saving for us here? You know, if there's three, let's say, septic people that are could come, is there, and again, I'm not like looking for the discount people that are not going to do a good job. It's all, you know, three very credible, like, let's say, septic people. Is there any deal that we can get if we, let's say, do the septic, the water, and then let's say the agent is going to, on the other side, is paying for stuff. Maybe we can combine those things if there's one person that does those things. So really working with the other agent to just try to save buyer and seller as much money as possible. It's not about gouging anybody. It's really about, we understand that the transaction itself is really expensive. But sometimes I think that there's money well spent. And sometimes I think that when you start looking at how much money, sellers sometimes can just be like, I want as much money as I possibly can. I think sometimes those engineer inspections can pay off, especially it's not that the sale has fallen through, but we've lost time, very important time. So I just really think that if your agent suggests we just go ahead with an engineer inspection, I just
Heck
think it's,
yeah.
It's worth every penny. Because again, you can start on some of those little repairs and those really can go a far away.
Yeah, and just
maybe that's the wrong
keep in mind, this isn't 2020 or 2022. These aren't there aren't lines of buyers with guns ready to shoot each other to buy the house. And I mean, I just competed. I lost yesterday. We had the highest offer, highest and best offer. However, we lost out to somebody who wrote a letter, and it was an emotional sale, and whatever, I get it, and not a big deal, and was competing.
Sure.
So they're still competing. You said you compete on almost everything.
Every offer.
I compete
so
on maybe half of it.
Yeah.
But just keep in mind in that, I don't want to say the real estate world right now in the interior Alaska, but there's tons of deals falling through too, left and right. Like, I mean, just it's, I think I said pandemic earlier. I think I got COVID in my brain, but epidemic. It's crazy. And so I think you have a lot less chance of your deal fall, and most of them are falling through with inspection.
Yeah.
So everybody I'm talking to is just, it's nuts. So yeah, having that inspection done can save you a ton of time and ton of headaches. And so, so, like Jimmy said, don't be afraid to start getting some of that work done. Start checking it off. I mean, it shows the buyers that you've taken some initiative, you're taking some steps, and that's just going to give them a little bit more comfort when going into your house.
Yeah. Is it time for a break? I don't know. Are we there?
Yeah.
Are we not there?
Yeah, we're there.
Okay.
All right, guys.
We'll be back and just share some fun things about selling houses, things that we're seeing, really. We just want to share kind of what's going on in today's real estate world with you.
Because it's crazy out there. We'll be right back.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynor returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time with the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer. There's simply no better way to promote your business, as our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations. There's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it, as your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynor.
And Jamie.
Kirk forgot we were in the radio, in the studio.
I was like,
he was reading texts.
And
he was working with clients.
He's
being a good realtor.
Well said.
So we are talking today about just things that we're seeing out there. So earlier we just mentioned, again, if you're a seller and you get under contract and then things fall through and maybe you don't have a engineer inspection, think about just buying one yourself and going forward with that. Because you can start on the, and maybe right now, here's what I'm seeing. We have a lot of buyers. We are still competing, but things are sitting on the market. And some houses are sitting, I think because maybe at least the clients I'm working with right now, a lot of them are looking for their forever home. They want to be one and done. So almost every client that I'm looking
for. Is it really forever homes?
Well, I don't know.
Forever enough.
But
okay.
I think they're thinking long term. So they really want to with the interest rate being what it is, I think that they are kind of thinking, I want to get everything that I possibly can get. So I might not get everything on my checklist, but I'm willing to put in the money to get as much as I possibly can. And so I don't really want to settle for sometimes in the past we've talked in other shows about, like, you can be creative and maybe you get the duplex and you live in one side. And for some people, yes, they have to do that. That's the first time home buyer, or maybe that's the situation, or you're thinking we're going to have to downsize for a couple years and we're going to do that. Or even we have some couples that are thinking, let's go smaller home for a little while and let's live the lifestyle. You know, we have a couple, I've definitely had a couple clients that want to go on the road for a while and they want to buy a really big motorhome. And that's super fun for a while. And then they come back and they say, okay, I also have clients that say, we've done this lifestyle for a while. We've lived in a smaller home and now we want 3,000 plus square feet. We want to go big. We want to go, we want giant homes. I've literally,
I thought you were going to say tiny homes.
No, every house on the market right now that's over 3,000 square feet, I'm going to see.
Holy smokes.
So the bigger, the better. I've literally looked on the MLS. I'm booking every single home that's over 3,000 square feet because I have multiple families that have big families or just have a very large budget that are saying they want their forever home. They really have an unlimited amount of money. They want A, B, and C.
And I got to remember since COVID, and I guess I kind of always forget this, you know, because we always want the open concepts, you know, kitchen flows into the living room. And then since COVID, everybody wants more private spaces. They want it more chopped up again. And so people are moving towards bigger spaces too. I always forget that. Just there's been a general trend since COVID that people want.
Yep. And now I feel like the rules are just changing, period. I feel like the minute I'm like, oh, we have A, B, and C, we were going smaller or we were just needing more room and space. Now we're just, I can have large, I can have small, I can have starter homes, I can have duplexes.
Yep. I have clients right now. Yes. Exactly.
So I think the biggest thing, though, is, again, for our sellers, please declutter. The last several showings I've been to, honestly, I've done better with an empty house than I have with a house that has stuff because I feel like my buyers have gotten lost in the client's things.
Look at the house you and I were just looking at. It's almost $500,000 and it looks like a hoarder was living in there.
But I mean, what's funny is looking at that house, I loved the artwork on the walls, like that they had obviously painted themselves, but I've seen that before. That it looked like an artist had lived in that house, not that house that we're talking about that's on the market right now, but I had seen another house similar to that last year. My buyers could not get over that. We probably looked at the artist's walls for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, okay, well, there's a lot of house left to see. We still need to see the outside.
Yep.
We've only booked the house for 45 minutes. That's all the time we have. You know, I knew we needed to see the garage. I knew we needed to see whatever. And it was like we couldn't move past that. Then they had made shelves, they had made artwork, they had made other things. We got lost in that stuff, and I thought, oh, I wish they had taken this stuff down. We didn't even finish the tour, and then they just got lost in the clutter of people's stuff. And that's probably been the last three showings that I've been at. My buyers have gotten lost in the clutter of people's items.
Interesting.
And it would have been better if it had just been boxed up.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I just really, I think there are people that have really cool stuff. And it is worse sometimes, I think, in larger houses because they have so much stuff. But buyers cannot see the coolness of the house that they're wanting to buy. They just see all of your items. And so I just cannot.
For sure.
I think the word is depersonalize. You got to take your personality out of it so they can see the deck space. Because I did just go see probably, I think this last week I've seen 10 houses that have been empty. And all those empty houses have shown so much better because I was able to highlight the original hardwood floors. I was able to highlight.
The other thing since we as sellers have been kind of lazy since it's been a seller's market. We put a house up and if it's halfway burned down and people are offering on it. So those days are gone and you actually got to try a little bit now. And so once you empty your house, like Jamie is suggesting, get a professional cleaner. I swear to God, every house we go into is just filthy.
Yes.
And these are all, you know,
yes,
$300,000-$500,000
houses. And I will mention this. We went into an older home in the last 48 hours. I honestly don't remember. They've all blended together. He had two huge dogs. Huge. He had that house. I don't know if it was professionally cleaned, but it looked professionally cleaned. You could see the vacuum lines on the floor. I could not tell you that dogs lived there, other than there were two, because I saw them myself, and they were giant dogs. I mean, they were beautiful. There were two dog food bowls on the floor in the kitchen, appropriately where dogs would eat. Everything was clean in that house. So I don't know if he had just had somebody come recently clean, but the house showed so well.
Yeah.
Like, the layout was a little bit weird for my clients, but it, like, I could tell it was hard for them because it showed so well. The deck was stunning. The kitchen was, I mean, everything was highlighted so beautifully, and nothing felt weird. And yeah. Then I said,
weird,
oh,
or scary,
right.
Or dirty.
And then
or...
I started laughing, and I was like, oh yeah, he has two huge dogs. And they were like, bigger than your dogs? And I said, and I have almost 70-pound dogs, and I said, probably double my dog size. And they just went, in this house? And I said, yes. I mean, it was a large house, but I didn't even see dog hair anywhere. So very well done. And that showed so well. And he even had, like, I would say the original carpet in there. Like, it was a bluish carpet. Looked very well cleaned.
Mm.
And that was something they commented on. Is it just seems really clean in here. It seems really nice. Even though some of the pieces were obviously dated furniture, it just showed so well.
There's all things we want to suggest, even if it's still a seller's market, but we want you to get the most amount of money in the least amount of time.
Right.
And these are all ideas to do so.
Yes. And I think other things that really sometimes can... sometimes shock sellers is that... like fixing minor issues like leaky faucets, squeaky doors, chip paint. I can't tell you, most of my clients flush your toilets. Buyers flush your toilets. They're now running water. In every North Pole house, I actually have a client that brings his own water bottle and tastes your water because he wants to see what it tastes like, to see if the water is good water, if it smells. And he's not my first client that's done that. I have multiple clients that run the water to see if it smells
sulfur.
Yeah. But I think that would surprise people. I think they don't think that, like, I think sometimes sellers don't think that people are going to run their water or flush their toilets or, you know, I think they think that you would just open the cabinets.
Yeah.
But like I had a client that specifically looked for hard water lines because he wanted to know if hard water buildup was going to be a huge issue in the house. And
it's not like you're buying a bicycle. You're buying the largest asset of your life.
Correct.
So they're going to run the water.
But I think those things, when they're cleaned or if those things are fixed so that you're, you know, I mean, sometimes I think when you're walking into a house and the kitchen sink is running, or like lately, weirdly, I have been in quite a few houses where the door doesn't shut. So you know how you can open like a bathroom door,
yeah,
and then it hits on the bottom of the floor,
mm-hmm,
and then you can't open it all the way. That is not, I think sometimes.
That's not okay, people.
Correct. Well, and I think because people think it's going to be a 1 minute job, but for somebody that knows how to do that, that's an easy job.
See, that's that repair versus replace.
Right.
So.
But I have specific clients right now that literally, that's a nightmare. Like that job, like they said, they're not really fix it people at all. Like that's a job where they have to hire somebody. Like my husband walks through stuff and I describe things to him and he's like, oh, I could just take that off. Like yesterday we were actually at a showing. This was so funny. And the doorknob was loose to the back door. My client actually pulled out his, his pocket tool.
Like Leatherman?
Leatherman. And adjusted all the screws, tightened that up on the doorknob, and fixed that because it was driving him bonkers. Because we were all opening that door to see the back deck, and he was like, this is not okay. And I thought, I mean, easy for him, but for some clients, I know that just would have been like, do I call somebody? Is that... So I think sometimes as, you know, when we're on the selling side, we do need to think about those little things can be really overwhelming to buyers that just have no idea. And sometimes who do you call? You know, I mean, realtors, we know we can give you lists of people, but I mean, sometimes people are booked.
The last person I asked, we were at a showing and they're doing contract work. And I said, hey, you know, can I have your car just in case?
Yeah.
And everybody I talked to is booked out through November.
Yes. People are busy. So I just want you to think about clean your house. Think about a pre-inspection.
Yes.
We'll have some other great tips next week, and hopefully give us a call if you need us. We're at Next Home. We're located on 600 Third Street. Third Street. Why do I always want to say
Fairbanks,
Avenue?
Maybe?
Yeah, we're in Fairbanks.
We're around.
907-378-2400. You can give me a call. I can also always reach Kirk 24/7.
Yep.
I like to reach him late. All right. Have a great weekend, and stay tuned for... I want to say After the Buzz. It's not After the Buzz. It's
After the Buzz. Nope. That's the marijuana show.
It's the
Behind the Mission with United Way.
Gosh, someday.
Someday. All right, y'all. Have a good Saturday. Take care.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to KFAR.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, an Last Frontier Media Active production.